Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If we really believe this, if we really live this, Jesus' words will be life-changing. But do we believe it? Do we live it? It takes more than just going to church and saying a few prayers to have your faith come alive. I'm reading a fascinating book now called Christ in Dachau by Father John Lentz. Christ in Dachau. That was the German prison camp that was set up actually ahead of World War II. And Hitler was the one who had set this thing up. Dachau is near Munich, beautiful southern Germany, actually a very Catholic part of the country. The northern part is Protestant, but the southern part is Catholic. And this prison camp, we might have thought was built in 1939, about the time of the war would start. It was built in 1933, the very year that Hitler came to power. And in that year, there were already 5,000 people put there, 5,000 men, political prisoners, often priests, were sent there because they didn't fit into the image. And that was well before the war had started. Well, anyway, this priest, this Father John Lentz, spent 6.5 years in this prison. And he learned many, many lessons there. And the book is actually very inspirational about how many found Christ in the midst of the sufferings of the camp. He was one of those that survived it. Perhaps the majority never did survive, those who had gone to the camp. But it was one of those horrendous things. And we have to see, how did this all come about? Well, Father Lentz gives this introduction to how all the misery of Germany and the world came about. And you and I are used to reading our history books, and if we follow up, we look at World War II and its beginnings, and we say, aha, it was because of the Versailles Treaties, World War I and the Versailles Treaty, which was so cruel. We're looking at it politically, and then we look at it financially, and we say, that's the reason that Hitler came to power. That's the reason that the people threw their unbelievable support in favor of Hitler. But it wasn't that. Father Lentz thinks it's different than that. He thinks it goes deeper than that. He writes, I thought back to the days of the rise of the Nazi Party and the spread of its godless doctrines. There had been intrepid champions of the faith in those days too, but we could have done with more. If our Catholic faith had really been something living, something vital to our existence, it is doubtful whether even a proportion of our people would have fallen prey to the Nazi pseudo-religion. We had become too lukewarm. Our religion had become something conventional. It had lost its living vitality, so it was easy for many to lose sight of essential values, to become blind to the truth. He's describing a situation which is ignored by most of our leaders today, most of our scholars today. We want to say that, well, look, it's really about politics. It's about money over here. And religion, that's private. That's about you and God. You can say your prayers on the side. It really doesn't matter. But you know, that's not even what our founding fathers held. Our founding fathers of our country, they said that America is a republic. The United States is a republic which is suited only to a religious and moral people. In other words, religion and morality are beneath politics. They shape our politics. And to have a limited government, a government of the people, by the people, for the people, requires that the people be self-controlled by their religion and their morality. Otherwise, you have to have, if the people are out of control, if their passions run wild, if violence is everywhere, you have to have an enormous police state in order to keep things under control. So they counted on us to be a religious and a moral people. Our founding fathers saw it the way Father Lentz does, that it has to be religion and spirituality are down at the bottom. They shape our politics. They should shape our finances. Sadly, that's misunderstood. Sadly, that's set aside. That's not understood. And it's not accepted. He also goes on to challenge the leaders. So much depends on our leaders, the men and women who are Christ's servants as priests and religious, whose duty it is to fire those in their care with a new enthusiasm for Christ, to keep his teachings perpetually before their eyes, to strengthen, uphold, protect, so that their flock should never lose sight of the eternal truths that are manifested in the teachings of the church. When it was all over, after 6.5 years in behind barbed wire, he says it was a bitter price to pay in order to be able to hold on to God. But for the same result, I would again joyfully face prison, hunger, and death. Life is not easy. It involves constant struggle against the forces of evil. It's no mere game. It means putting up a fight. And if we're followers of Christ, we'll stand willingly at his side, ever prepared to do battle in the cause of him who storms the gates of hell and all eternity proclaims his victory over Satan and his works. This man was a zealot, but he understood spiritually that the collapse of Germany was not just financial, not just political after World War I, it was moral. And Berlin, by the way, was one of the most decadent cities. So all of the evils that were there led the people to a spiritual lukewarmness, which blinded them. It blinded them to the evils that were upon them and the false promises that were made to them. Again, Father Lentz is saying this lukewarm faith brings sin, and sin brings spiritual blindness. People who are weak in faith and prayer, who open themselves to sin, will lose their taste for the truth. Think about that for a moment. It happened in Germany. It can happen anywhere. People who open themselves to sin will lose their taste for the truth. We need a sense of God. We need a sense of the faith. And from that flows a wisdom by which we see through worldly deceptions. Are there parallels today? We in the United States, up to recently, have thought of ourselves as a Christian country. Can we still say that? Is it still true? Are we still the land of the free and the home of the brave? I think the faith has been weak now, very, very weak, and weak for generations. We've opened the doors from the 60s onward to a sexual revolution that after two or three generations must be seen as utterly destructive to marriage and family and the morals of our people. We've killed 64 million babies in our own country alone in the name of freedom. We've opened the doors to pornography, legalized and promoted sodomy and drag queens, and we've encouraged the so-called sex change to the confusion and destruction of the young. We seem to have lost our taste for the truth. We've lost our sense of God. We lost our sense of sin. And unrepented sin leads to atheism. That's the great falling away that's happened. You've noticed it in the last 50 years, the great falling away from God, the rise of an atheism because of unrepented sin. We've not just sinned, we haven't even been sorry for the sin. It's unrepented sin. And that's what brings atheism, and atheism brings spiritual blindness. You see, if there's no God, then there's no rules. There's no destiny. There's no purpose. And all that's left is for us to pursue pleasure and power and wealth. And we see the scandals in our own government, the Epstein files, seem to have touched far wider number of politicians and higher-ups than we could have ever imagined. Immorality, lies, dishonesty, and even the names of some of our laws, the so-called Patriot Act, which is not a Patriot Act, sounds so noble. In fact, allows the government surveillance apparatus to spy domestically on its own citizens, on you and me. In fact, the last administration even sent the FBI to infiltrate conservative Catholic churches. Can you imagine? The land of the free and the home of the brave. But if those in power are atheist, there's no moral compass. There's only pleasure and power and wealth. And so we have to say to ourselves, could evils be on our doorstep? Could there be troubles right before us? We're watching before us the decline of the middle class. Fewer and fewer people even have retirement funds. Statistics show now that the 401k, which is supposed to replace the retirement plans and all of the pensions that once were there, are mostly underfunded. The average 401k is $89,000 across the country. That's not going to go very far in retirement. And it means that more and more people are dependent upon Social Security and Medicare because they can't take care of themselves any other way. And we find ourselves being more and more dependent upon the government. Yet the government should be dependent upon us. I don't know how this plays out, but the spiritual preconditions are there for us to blindly accept terrible things to the harm of the country, our families, and ourselves personally. Because if a culture begins to unravel, the government begins to become larger. And all of these things are not to the good. I say these things not because these things will happen again, because what we say is history never repeats itself, but it rhymes. They're patterns. There's things we need to notice. Now, living the faith fully, like Jesus calls us to, the way, the truth, and the life, living the faith fully can prevent disasters But it can also lead us through them once they're actually upon us. Just like Father Lentz went through the ordeal, went through the hardships, endured it well, came out better, led other people to Christ in the midst of the disaster of Dachau. But Jesus calls us to something very noble. You know, St. Paul reminds us, he says, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. You realize in this resurrection season, we're talking about not just life, but eternal life, life beyond this life, life that lasts forever. St. Therese the Little Flower, one of our patrons, whose picture is up here in our mural, St. Therese the Little Flower, who died at the age of only 24, she says, call nothing life which must end. She says, this little time that you and I share here, whether it's 5 years or 50 years or 90 years, this little short window that you and I share, that's not life. Life lasts forever. And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And you and I enter into that life by baptism. We stay there by confession. We increase that divine life by our prayers, by our holiness of life. We begin to enter into eternity even now, so that St. Paul can say, it doesn't matter whether we live or die because we are the Lord's. So he's look at this way, the truth, and the life, and you say, there's something to this. We can sacrifice ourselves for a principle because we have a better homeland ahead of us. We can walk in the light even if nobody else likes it, even if we're opposed by others, because we stand in the light. We stand for the truth. We stand for what is right. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. That way means not just a pathway. Jesus is the way. We come to know him. Then we begin to follow him and imitate him. That's the way. The church gave us this from the very beginnings. Perhaps you've heard of the Didache. It describes, first of all, you shall love the Lord who made you, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That seems so easy. But in the end, it calls us even to love our enemies. To love our enemies. Do you realize how rare that is today? The vengeance that we feel in our hearts for those that are on the opposite side of some issue, or perhaps even been violent towards us or our country, the hatred that wells up. We have to even love our enemies, even though we might oppose them. To love our enemies, the Christian way is so different. It goes on to describe the things we must oppose. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit pederasty. You shall not commit fornication. By the way, this goes back. This was probably written in the year 70 AD. This is way back to the time when the apostles, the last of the apostles, were still alive. You shall not steal. You shall not practice magic. You shall not take potions to prevent conception. You shall not murder the child by abortion or kill that which is born. All of these things go back to the beginning, and it means following the way, the truth, and the life. And in all these things, we go beyond that. And there's many more things that we could discuss here from that Didache, that ancient document. But it also says the truth. My, but the truth is scarce today. Dishonesty, honestly, dishonesty is everywhere around us. And we look for the truth. We stand for the truth. Don't count on the mass media to be giving you truth. Often that's just propaganda. You have to be a digger. You have to be wanting the truth. You have to search for the truth. And in prayer and with good friends and with the right good sources, you'll be able to find the truth, discern the light, to find the right path. Our world is walking in darkness right now. And we mustn't simply assume that everything will go right because we're Americans and we wear the white hats. We need more than that. Germany needed more than that. It needed a living and vibrant faith. That's the call for all of us, to really enter into Christ, to come to know him, to follow him, because he is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life.